and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he asked him, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase the pains of your childbearing. With pains you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Your Bibles in Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by the grace that you have been saved, and God rise us up with Christ and settled us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast."
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you so much, ladies. Well, I remember it was my eighth grade year, and in that year I'd gone out for track. And when you can't hit, throw, or catch, you do the only thing left. You run. And so that's what I did. I ran the 800 and the 1600, which is a half mile and a mile. And I don't remember much about that track season, but, you know, I remember something at the very end. I remember the awards banquet, the track and field awards banquet that our middle school had. So I remember that as they started off the awards banquet and as it progressed, they would say, "This person got, you know, had the furthest long jump, and this person jumped this high, and that was the record, and this person was this fast, and it was this record." And they did that for all the track and field events. And then they went for each person and talked about how, and they called them up, how they had run or jumped or thrown very far, further than they had at the beginning of the season. So by the end of the evening, every person had an award, except for me. Now, it's not like I actually kind of anticipated one because, well, earlier in that season, I had gotten an injury that the doctor had said, "Chris, I'm sorry, you're out for the track season, and you're done." But strangely, I'd been invited to the track and field banquet, and I was invited, and so I came. And so it was just me left that was there who hadn't gotten an award. And so as I sat there, everyone else is fiddling with their award and looking at it and examining it. But there I was, no award that was to be had for me. And so, you know, I thought about that, but, you know, maybe isn't that kind of how life is, though? You know, what you do determines the award that you get, right? So, you know, all these other folks had done lots of really great things, but I hadn't done anything. And so they got awards and I didn't. And so maybe this is, you know, this is kind of how life is. You know, we work hard, we get good GPAs in school, and we get those good grades, and then we're able to get off to the college or university where we want to go. And so then we go there, and we again work really hard, and we get the GPA, and we get the credential, or we get the degree that we really want. And then we get on, and we get our reward. We get another job, and then we get that first job, because that first job often isn't our last job. We're actually hoping for another job. It's kind of an entry level. And so we do that. So we do that job, and we continue on through. And we always hope for the next promotion, the next pay raise, the next opportunity to move forward. I'm not saying there's anything particularly wrong with that. It's just kind of how life is. And so what we do determines sort of the reward that we receive. You know, I think there's also some other subtle places where we might see that, where maybe our son or daughter puts in good hard work to please their parents. And so they do that, and they work for the reward of compliment or some sort of gratitude, like, hey, great job. You know, or even a husband and wife, maybe they work hard to do the chores around their house. And so as a result, they get kind of a reward in a way. They work well together. Or maybe it's just an employee working hard for the employer. And so they work hard, and they're working towards what they do to get an award that they would receive. You know, I'm not saying there's anything particularly wrong with some of these things. We know that this is some of the ways in which the world kind of works in a lot of places. But I think there can be a problem. I think there can be a problem, though, when we connect this to our Christianity, when we connect this to our theology. You know, we may think, you know, if I'm really holy and perfect and good in my prayers, then God's going to give me what I deserve. He's going to give me my reward. So maybe I was thinking of some examples of how this could be. To be honest, these are all struggles I've gone through. I thought, if I pray really loudly, God might hear me better and He'll answer. You know, go on a good, you know, a hillside somewhere and pray really loudly. Or then I went the opposite way. I prayed really softly, and I was really soft. I thought if I just spend quiet time, God will absolutely answer my prayers. Or maybe it's with community. So if I pray with a whole bunch of people, that will absolutely answer my prayer. Or maybe if I go alone, that'll answer my prayers for sure. Or maybe since I've been to seminary, I know many enormous, gigantic words that are 4 or 5 syllables, and I can list them off. And then God will answer my prayers. Or maybe if I just pour with simple words, right, of my heart, then God will answer my prayers. Then what I do will determine the reward I will receive. You know, but then, of course, you know, I also went through the whole posture thing. So I thought, you know, well, can I really have my hands praying in my pockets? You know, maybe I need to have my hands up. Maybe they need to be out. Is it upside or, you know, is it sunny side up or sunny side down? You know, is it, you know, kind of extended? You know, do I need to do the rear in the air sort of thing? Do I need to be flat out? You know, what do I need to do to get God, you know, do the thing to get the reward that I want? You know, and of course, I mean, I could go all into all sorts of religious activities, right, that we could do. That if I do these things and pray this way, then God, you're going to answer, right? You're going to give me my reward. But let's look again, actually, how we were saved. Maybe that's going to give us a clue of how this actually works or how good actually our God is. Let's look at how that worked out. And I know, church, what's interesting is that we just put ashes on your forehead, and we've said from dust you came and dust you shall return. But I wonder, you know, what can dust give to an almighty God who made the universe? Nothing. What can those who are dead? Our passage says in verse 2:1, it says, you are dead in your transgressions and sin. What can dead give to an almighty God that is the author and giver of life? Nothing. Nothing. And so, when we think about what we've been given in our salvation, there's only actually one answer. And that it's not by what we've done, but it's actually out of who God is and what He does, that He then can do what He does and give us a gift. A gift of life. A gift of salvation. For it's by grace that we've been saved. And it's not only, and it's for those who are looking to, the only thing that's required is those who have faith in God, those who look to Him, those who put their faith in Him. And what's interesting is when we read through this passage, as you read through the first part, as you listen to that, it kind of doesn't paint us a very pretty picture. You know, it kind of talks about that we're by nature deserving of wrath, that we gave in to the cravings of the flesh. Like, it's really clear that there's nothing that we could actually have offered God in return for our salvation, which we receive in Him. So we realize that as Paul writes there, it says, by grace you have been saved. And then in a most miraculous thing is that God then infuses us with His Spirit, and He makes that which is dead come alive. May that which is dead come alive. That's what's happened to you. If you've had faith in Christ, you were dead, like lifeless. And you've been made alive through the infusion of the Holy Spirit, through God working in and through to bring you life. That's what Paul's talking about there. And it says in verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ. But not only did He give us life, but He raised us up and He's going to put us with the author and giver of life in the age to come. That's pretty amazing. So it's not only just this time, but what's to come. That's pretty amazing and pretty phenomenal. It's amazing grace, truly. And so then Paul kind of answers the question, so why did He do this? Why did He do this? Why did God decide to make it this route? This route only, not some act, not some amount of work that you need to do to somehow earn this salvation. But how is it that only He can gift that life? And He says it's because as you look down and see that it says in verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. So that no one can boast. Not a soul. That's actually all the same gift to every single person. Well, you know, at the very beginning here, I kind of told a brief story about my track experience, right? I left the story with, it was actually nearing the end of the track banquet, and I said everyone had gotten an award. Now, I don't remember actually what was said in the words following, but what I do remember is that our head coach was up there. His name was Mr. Shu, which is a great name for a guy who coaches track. Mr. Shu, but he said some things. And then suddenly he said, Chris Popovich. And the room exploded. And I was baffled. Me? But I haven't run high. I haven't jumped far. I haven't gone fast. What have I done? Nothing. I've done nothing. And yet, in this coach's grace, with the rest of the coaching staff, decided to gift upon me the honor of being a part of that team. Out of their own efforts. Out of their own decision. And that was an amazing moment. It's a moment that has remained in my mind. I mean, that was middle school, folks. That was a while ago for me. It was an amazing moment to be honored and stood up and come to these coaches and receive an award. I don't know what it was, but I remember the feeling.
Remember the feeling of receiving grace. I couldn't describe it then. I could describe it now. Receive grace out of their own effort, not of my own, by which they called me to be part of that team. And so that's how God calls you tonight. Not of your own efforts, not of good skills that you have, not of good works that you've done, no matter how many church services you've been to or haven't been to, no matter how many degrees or completions that you've done, no matter how old or how young, or what place of this community that you live in. God's reached out to you and He loves you. He's offered you a gift. It's an amazing gift. It's a gracious gift which you didn't deserve, which I didn't deserve. And He calls you and says, "You're on my team. You're mine. Because I've chosen you." So that's what I offer to you tonight as we come to this table. Yep, this is all that we have to offer, these ashes that are on our forehead. And yet He calls us to His banqueting table. He invites us in to be one of His and to be seated at His right hand and to be loved by Him. So in a moment, we'll be taking communion. As we pause for a moment and take our offering, as you listen to that music, think about that. This amazing gift of grace that's been offered to you. And I will say this, if you haven't received that gift is offered to you tonight. That you just, the scripture says, you just need to have faith in Jesus. You just say, "Jesus, you're it. You offer me a gift and I receive that gift." And the Holy Spirit comes in and He moves and He changes you. And then you'll join with the rest of us in that heavenly kingdom and in His kingdom now, bringing about His kingdom work in this time. So please, sit and listen and let the Lord minister to your heart of the amazing gift that He offers you this evening of grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come before You and I thank You for that glimpse of grace by Mr. Hsu. And I pray, Lord, that You, Lord, would move in us and help us understand the gift of grace that You've offered us here this evening, that You've offered us in Jesus Christ, to be with You, to be from dead to life. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Amen.
Before we pronounce the benediction, I want to let you know that if you'd like to take a few moments to continue to reflect on our evening tonight and our worship time and the Lord's table, you're welcome to stay in here for a few minutes. But also, I want to let you know that our gallery just down the way here at the end of our campus is going to be open. We have some beautiful, beautiful sacred art there, and it would be a great place to continue to reflect for a few minutes tonight. Terry has already turned on the heater, so it'll be warm over there. And of course, tomorrow night is Art Hop, so you're welcome to come back then if you'd like, or consider coming and back and bringing someone with you tomorrow evening. And now, receive the benediction. The God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, through and through. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you, He is faithful, and He Himself will do this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Go in peace.